You're listening to Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. I'm Jonna Spilbore.
I'm Carol Pesci.
And this is the podcast version of our award-winning radio show.
That's right.
Now you can listen to our radio show whenever you want on your time.
It's Happy Hour. What is Happy Hour?
It's a 60 minutes
or so
where you have a happy beginning, middle, and ending.
People expect from this show?
Number one, they should expect to get some really good stuff because we have
stuff.
A lot of stuff.
Meaning content.
Yeah.
Smart guests.
Yep.
Make your life better.
And we make you laugh.
Laugh a little. Because that's about it.
You only go around once.
Yeah.
You gotta have a little fun.
All right. Listen up.
Good morning and welcome to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. We're back with yet another show and yet another show on the telephone, obviously, because we're still in lockdown mode. Good morning, ladies. How are we doing?
Not bad.
Good morning. Not bad. Happy Mother's Day. Let's get that out of the way, huh? Happy Mother's Day to all the moms that are listening to us and up very early on a Sunday morning.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Thank you for reminding me.
Hopefully they're all getting breakfast in bed as we speak.
Did you do that as a kid for your mother, Jonna?
We always did.
You did the breakfast and things? See, I'll tell you why I didn't do that for Mom. And she's much better off for it.
Well, obviously, where you've gotten to at this point in your life, I'm going to assume that when you were younger, you were even worse at cooking.
Way worse, if that's possible. Yeah, so Mom didn't get any breakfast in bed from me, but I always did get her, you know, some sort of mother's gift, even as a young kid. So, you know, Mother's Day is very special to me with my mom. I wouldn't miss one, ever.
That's nice. We always did as a kid, I'm kind of laughing about it now, that we always made her breakfast in bed and brought her a tray in, and if we could put a flower on it or whatever. But God, she probably was up for 2 hours before we were and sat in bed for another hour while we figured out how to get breakfast.
Yes, we did the breakfast in bed thing for Mom as well. And it was probably a very similar situation to yours, Carol, where Mom was just sitting in bed going, okay, come on, guys, please.
Hurry up.
Yes, please.
Right.
I'm getting sores on my butt.
Before lunch. Mother's Day in my family caused a little bit of a temporary rift a few years back because I have a family member who's like a cousin, like a second cousin, who was actually in my wedding years ago when she was just, God, she must have been a young teenager, if that. Anyway, she ended up getting married on Mother's Day, I don't know now, it's 3 or 4 years ago or something like that maybe, and she lives clear across the country, and I, as hard as I tried to find a flight that would allow me to go there, leave like on a red eye after her wedding and still get back Sunday for her after her Saturday wedding for Mother's Day, it just was impossible. So I had to do the calculation and I said to myself, God, if I go to this wedding and miss Mother's Day, what if, God forbid, something happens and I've missed like the last Mother's Day that I've spent with my mother? So I had to say to her, I'm sorry, I can't go. And she got really ticked. And then I got ticked back because I said, you have 51 other Saturdays that you could have been. 51 other choices. And if you wanted me there so bad, maybe you could have included me in the planning phase of the picking the date. So we eventually kissed and made up, but she did. Actually, she had 50 choices because I wouldn't have missed Father's Day either. But that's how special, you know, it's Mother's Day. So I really hope all the moms out there are having a good time. I mean, Carol, I know, I don't, if you want, you did a really cool thing for Mama Chewy this Mother's Day, which was just awesome. Can we talk about that?
Oh, yeah, we can. So
tell the world what you did in your private moment for your mom.
No, because it is very special. So, as I've mentioned before on the show, in addition to being an author, I have a publishing company, Little Pink Press, and I publish books by or for women. And that has come in very handy recently because my mother 2 years ago sold my childhood home that she had lived in for 50 years, moved out with my sister in North Carolina. One day prior to her leaving, I stopped by the house in the summer to see her. She was out, and I noticed her recycle bin was overflowing, and I just kind of lifted the lid to see what was in there, and I saw some manila folders with some typewritten papers on it. And I had remembered that my mother wrote a fictional story called Nine about these cats that from 9 p.m. to 9 a.m. become human. A spell is cast on them. It's a very fun, cool story. And so I look in the folder, and it was that story. And she must have just been, and it's almost 50 years old. It was early 70s when she wrote it. So she was giving up on it, and she was like, done with this. I never, you know, she had gotten some rejection letters from publishers back in the 70s and just finally said, enough. Well, yours truly became a garbage picker, and I pulled it out of the garbage and saved it. I figured, and this was before I started my publishing company, I'm like, I'm going to do something with this someday. So this year for Mother's Day, I took her work, and I typed it up, and I created a cover and laid out the interior and have published her book, which is called Nine, for her. Now, it's not live on Amazon yet, and I did, she needs to review it, but the other thing I did, my mom, who was in her sight, so I laid it out in large print for her, so yeah, it's going to be pretty cool.
that's an absolutely wonderful idea. Holy cow.
Yeah. Totally awesome.
And you may say, oh, Carol, you're so, you know, that's awesome of you. Okay, fine. But I... the part that is cool is not like to brag that I did this. It's like, how lucky am I and how grateful am I that I'm in a position to do something like that, that I figured that out and I know how to get books published. And I feel really, really grateful.
Well, now my question of you is this, though. Now, when you get ready to present this to your mom, do you have a towel ready? Because you're going to need more than just a couple of tissues. Right? You're going to need a towel that you both can share because you know she's going to break down.
Yeah, I'm not going to be able to see her, unfortunately, but my sister's going to hand it to her and videotape her opening it.
Okay.
That is really cool.
Still have a towel
and
ready,
I
though.
I will share that with you. Yeah. So that was my Mother's Day gift. Not breakfast in bed, but sure she'll love
it. Well, good. This Mother's Day, shopping for this Mother's Day was a bit of a challenge, you know, just because... Yeah. The stores aren't open and things aren't open. And even, you know, I am an Amazon fanatic, but ordering from there is taking a million years. And so it was a little bit stressful this week. But, you know, my mom, she's at a point now, she just wants to spend time, and it doesn't matter whether it's Mother's Day or not Mother's Day. It could be a Wednesday for all she cares. You know,
right.
Mother's daughter time is what she wants.
I'm light on the cards. I did find one Mother's Day card, so I got lucky. But love my family, but I'm not going to make a trip into a pharmacy just for a card right now. So,
no, I don't blame you.
Yeah, everybody understands. You know, we're doing the best we can.
Yeah, I got a little something for my mom, but to tell you the truth, I don't even want to walk into the post office if I don't got to.
No, me neither.
You know, so, you know, I'll have to, I mean, I'll, you know, obviously I'm going to make a phone call later, but no, this past week I was like, no, I'm not, I just don't want to go to the post office. You're just going to have to wait, Ma.
So, completely unrelated, but I'm just curious, because last week was Cinco de Mayo. Did you get yourself an authentic margarita, Miss Spielborg?
Oh, I almost forgot to tell you guys. So, ever since this lockdown happened, I have been missing what I'm calling a real margarita. Now, I know that the ingredients that go in a margarita, and I have those ingredients in my house, and I could easily make one. And not for nothing, I have tried, okay? I have tried to make a real margarita, but they just don't come out as good as when somebody is making it for you. And not like somebody in your house. I mean, somebody behind a bar, you know, with a handlebar mustache and an apron who, you know,
and it costs way too much money. But those are the best kind of margaritas. So I haven't had one since this whole thing started, and I'm kind of a margarita. What do you call it? Connoisseur. So anyway,
connoisseur.
So
aficionado.
Right. So as it happened, I was getting some curbside takeout from one of our local Mexican joints, Mexicali Blue, if I can say the name. And because I had to wait a couple of minutes, which was not a problem at all, they brought me out a giant free mango margarita.
No.
Yes. And then, so I was really excited about that. So I had to wait till I got home. And they were so smart. They were so smart. So they give me this giant mango margarita. They don't put any ice in it. It was just like full on in your face mango margarita. Yes. So it was almost like getting a pitcher of margaritas because they didn't waste any room with the ice. So when I got to my house, I put it on ice, and oh my God. You know, like, did you ever watch one of those old movies where somebody's like, they've been in the desert for 30 days, and they look ahead, and they think they see, like, a pond, but it turns out to be a mirage, and then, like, they die because it's not really water? Well, I was, like, on my belly in the desert, and when they handed me this margarita, and I put it in a cup with a little bit of ice, and I took a sip, it was like, oh, my God, I'm alive. Crazy.
Yes, exactly. Right. Jonna found her oasis. Very nice.
Oh,
very nice.
Man. It was something else, but I'll tell you, you know, and I don't, like I said, I don't want to be a downer, but I am missing that part of life. I am missing the camaraderie and the booze and all of that. I am missing very, very badly. I can't wait till we get there again.
Well, I guess the free extra frosty that I got at Wendy's the other day, because they made me wait, kind of pales in comparison, huh?
Brutal frosty.
Oh. I'm like weighing each of my hands. I'm like margarita frosty. Oh, I take them both. You got an authentic margarita made by somebody else, although not delivered by somebody in a mustache and an apron.
Yeah, well, no, you got two out of three.
Good. Yeah, it was very, very tasty and very, very good. So I'm happy about that because, you know, frankly, I miss you guys too. I miss doing this in studio, and I miss, you know, sometimes I get some of my best material just from living life. And when you're locked down and not really living life, I'm like, I'm kind of boring.
Well, you know what I've told you this before there, Johnny. You know what you need to do is you need to just get $100, go on WordPress, buy yourself a web domain, and start taking some of your Facebook posts and making posts at your blog from them. You know, take that time, make a copy of them. You know, throw them, you know, take some time playing with WordPress to figure out how it works. But, you know, build it into a blog. So, because I'll tell you one thing, you know, what's fantastic is being able to look back at your stuff and being able to see a whole list of it and know that it's there, as opposed to Facebook. You know, sometimes when, you know, you post things to Facebook, it's almost like, you know, it's almost like Snapchat. You know, once it's posted up there, you see some likes and stuff, but then it scrolls down and it goes away.
That's true.
So, you know, hey, if Frankenberry can spend $100 to do this for his own, I know you can.
Frankenberry, digging deep for that $100. Well, you have a really fun blog called Frankenberry's Attic. And I always enjoy your stuff. And I'm always happy because you tag me. So then it's like, ding, and I know when it's there. So I don't have to, like, go looking for it.
Well,
it finds me, which is awesome.
Yes, and I always tag Carol as well. But seriously, I mean, that that would give you something to do, and it would also be really satisfying for you.
I'm raising my hand.
Go.
Carol.
Alternatively, or in addition to that, you can turn some of them into a quite humorous book, and I know someone who can get you published.
Oh, that's right. You know people.
Ding, ding, ding. She not only knows people.
She knows people who know people.
Oh my gosh. That's a really
good writer. Both of you. It's kind of funny that we're all writers. I mean, no, seriously, you are funny, and you're an amazing writer, and I would love to help you capture that in a book.
Yeah, and you know, you start with that blog, and you start by putting some links. You know, you put some links to the exact same article, and then you know, do what I did last weekend: put a portion of your piece up there, and then send people to your blog.
But yeah, Chelsea Handler nice did idea. That with a couple books. There were like her ramblings and funny stories, like "Hello Vodka, You There? It's Me," that kind of stuff.
Oh, I remember that title. Yeah.
That was funny. I actually saw her live, by the way, not for nothing. I used to be a big fan of hers, and she got a little bit too political. But that is a fantastic idea, and you're right. And now I'm kind of kicking myself because I'm saying, well, we've had 7 weeks of not a whole lot to do.
Well, hey, you know what? The first thing you do is you go to your own Facebook page, and you just start scrolling down and start copying and pasting and throwing stuff into documents.
Yes.
Well, you know what I'm thinking? The first thing I do is I go on, like, Upwork.com, and I pay somebody to do that for me.
yeah, but you
it's
see...
It's a little tedious.
Yeah, but you can't do that, because the thing is, you want to go back and do it yourself, because you're gonna find yourself editing stuff along the way.
Exactly. You're 100% right.
All right, so what would we call her book? At least the first one, anyway, because you probably have multiple ones there.
Oh... That's something we really should think about. Because to me, and Carol, you're the pro, so you probably would know this. And listen, if anybody out there is listening and you're thinking of a side hustle and you fancy yourself a writer, I personally believe that the title can sell your book more than anything between the covers. I really do. I think a title is very important.
It is.
Okay, it could be
something.
No, go ahead.
You know what I think of, like, when I'm thinking of a title for anything, I always picture this. I'm like, all right, is the person who's reading this on public transportation, subway, bus, going to be embarrassed by the title? Because you got to be mindful of that. You know, people are going to buy your book. Although nowadays, most books are read, like, on Kindle or what have you, so people aren't seeing the cover. But,
right, and even...
Yeah.
Oh, so just popped in my head, and while we're talking about reading books, and Johnny, you're going to be thrilled to hear this. I have just been notified. It took probably 6 weeks to get done, you know, everybody's limited staff. But Hello Beautiful, my second book, Hello Beautiful, is now an audiobook mm-hmm. on Amazon.
Get out!
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
Oh.
Oh, you have just made Spielberg very happy.
I know. That's how she reads all her books. So, yeah.
Did you record it in your own voice?
I did.
Oh, cool.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Because I just can't. I love listening to books. As opposed to, number one, and this is, you know, I have to wear glasses to read. And they get all fogged up and my eyelashes touch them. And I can't, like, oh. So it's like a chore now. So listening to books, plus you can listen to books when you're on the treadmill or the car. It's like awesome. Oh, I can't wait. I'm going to download that as soon as we're done today. Thank you.
Very nice. Very nice. Oh, and John, since we call you Spielberg, I have an idea,
yes.
A possible idea for a title for your book. Mom, Mom, Margaritas, and Martians.
Can I vote
really?
On that?
Yeah, can I vote on that? Because there's only one that applies to me, and it's margaritas.
Well, you love your mom. You got great mom stories.
That's true. That's
and you and you do have all those furry aliens running around your house. So,
oh my gosh.
So, by the way, who are we talking to today? Because I know you've got. Aren't we going to be talking to somebody in Russia?
Yeah, and I'm gonna butcher this name. All right, so let me just tell you why we're gonna be talking to who we're talking to, and then I'll tell you who we're talking to. So, as you guys know, and our listeners know, while we're in this kind of quote unprecedented time, sidebar, when this is over, if I ever hear the phrase unprecedented time again, I'm gonna punch whoever says it in the throat, because I am so sick of hearing in these uncertain times. Enough already. We know. We get it. We're in it too. Anyway, But the reason why I fleshed this guest for today is because we're going to have an author and Fortune 500 thought leader by the name of Oleg, last name Konovalov, I think. He's going to be speaking to us because he's the author of a book called Leaderology, and he's going to talk to us specifically about how the pandemic has changed business and give us tips on how, if you're a business owner, big or small, how you can adapt. And I think this is going to be interesting because, you know, if we want to find a silver lining in what's going on, some of us might not go back 100% to the old way we did business. And instead, maybe some of these virtual techniques will serve us going forward with or without a pandemic. And I'm really interested in getting his tips. And if you work for a business or run a business, you're going to be interested too. So when we come back, it's Oleg. We'll let him say his last name, but I think it's Konovalov.
Okay, that is what we have on the way. You're listening to Happy Hour here with Jonas Spilborg, Carol Pesci, and myself. And we will return with segment number two and our guest for this morning. This is K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. And we're back again here with Happy Hour, Jonna Spilborg, Carol Pesci, and myself. It is segment number two, and in segment number two, of course, we always feature our guest for the week. And Jonna, we've got a good one this week, something that's at a topic that's very timely.
This is a very timely topic, and we have a very important guest with us today who I'm going to apologize in advance because I will screw up his name, even though he's told me how to pronounce it. So on the line with us, we have Oleg Konovalov, who is, among other things, an author, but a global thought leader and consultant who has worked with various Fortune 500 companies and is the author of a new book entitled Leaderology. Now, what we're going to talk to, we're going to go with Oleg, because that's a little easier than his last name.
I agree. Can I just pause you for a second? We were talking about how important book titles are, and I love the title, Leaderology. I love it.
Oh, me too. I absolutely, because it says it all in one interesting made-up word. I love it. But we're going to talk to Oleg today because we're in the middle of this pandemic, as everybody knows. And as a business owner myself, I can tell you that small business owners especially are really, really hard hit economically by what's going on. And we're seeing what's happening inside our four walls really change in terms of how we do things and even morale. So we're going to talk to Oleg today about how our businesses can adapt and should adapt during this time of unprecedented change. So, and we have what a heavy hitter to have on the show. So, Oleg, welcome to Happy Hour.
Hello, hello, hello. Thank you very much for inviting me. That's a great honor. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I know you're calling us all the way from Russia, but you have some tremendous insights. We want to talk about the book. And so why don't we start with, I mean, obviously we're all suffering clearly across the globe, given the nature and the change that has happened just like that. I mean, one day we were all running our businesses and doing what we normally did, whether it was raising the kids, put them on the bus, what have you. And then the next second, that all stopped. So what can we learn? What do you think? What are you talking to your clients about, Oleg, who are in this situation? What should we be doing in business different when this is over?
You see, when I talk to my clients, I hate starting with something or pointing at their mistakes. You know, I'm always encouraging them that they're great, you know, because I think everything we have done so far, we must be grateful to others and grateful for opportunities that we had before. Of course, we're facing a huge twist in our lives. Mm-hmm. What we need to encounter in a big way, that old mistakes or old pattern thinking still drags us down, because we tend to repeat the same mistakes which led us to that problem or problems which we are facing now and paying a lot for all those old habits. It's one thing. Another thing is when we talk about a crisis, in particular about small businesses, we tend to forget that social distancing doesn't mean social disconnectedness.
Oh,
we
I love
still
that.
People, we're still together. We even talking now, thanks to the 21st century technology, we are great talking at any moment, at whatever the distance, and in the way we like. What is a small business? People would still would love to go to a small coffee shop and enjoy coffee after this COVID. So they will be on the rise. And, barbershops would be, they will hit a jackpot after. So
you ain't kidding. Just for me.
Oh, for everyone.
Oh, yeah. She's been complaining about it for weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Okay. So, you know, but stay in a queue. You know, you will pay a premium to be served first. You know?
Yes, I will.
You know, it's one thing. What we need to address at the moment, what are weaknesses we should be addressed when we are reinventing ourselves and our businesses in this sense? What's the problem at the moment that many people looking at the future as something very, you know, grayish, which I don't like. Future is positive and bright, just you need the positive thinking. Our positive thoughts define the positive future. The reason I'm saying so, if we don't see others in that future, our friends, our colleagues, just people on the street who are smiling to us, how we could get that bright future. That's really important. And yes, we all got something that we are not very proud of. For instance, we've done something in the wrong way, but this is lessons. We paid for them, or we're paying for them, that's fine. So carry on, do something. The life is it's a matter of trying, testing, winning, and losing. It's a challenge. It's normal.
Right.
The business is the same.
Oh, like, I completely agree with you. And look, have our lives been uprooted, and are we going through difficult times and experiences, and uncertainty is one of those things that creates anxiety for people? Yes, all of that is true. And at the same time, it is what it is right now. We are faced with this period, and you can either feel sorry for yourself, complain about it, and there actually is room for that, and allow yourself that. But there comes a point, and in business particularly, where you say, okay, how can I adjust? What can I do differently? What can we do differently? And tap into that your creative by asking the right questions, because you may come out of this as a business owner or someone who contributes to a business with something you never would have come up with or done had you not been forced to ask new questions.
Mm-hmm. Actually, we love talking about personal self-awareness, because every time we call it every birthday or every stage of life, we should re-evaluate ourselves. But the same happens with organizations, with businesses. Doesn't matter the size. You know, whether it's small or big, what kind of an archetype it is, what kind of a value I create for people, and what value people would expect to have as a most priority for them after that COVID, or even now, and it can be changed. We are great on software, but we're not great to deliver the right, you know, solutions for people using that software, for instance. Here is the time to listen to people and get a clear understanding what customer needs. And what it can be adjusted. What kind of business do I run? It's a great time to evaluate and change something for good.
Now,
it is an opportunity.
Right. Now, Oleg, let me ask you a question. Of of what you've seen so far, what kind of adaptions have businesses made that you say to yourself now, yes, you should be doing that moving forward, and you should be thankful in some regard that you were forced to do it in the first place because it's working for you?
Being focused. Oh. That's a great thing. You know, because when we are in panic, when we are living an easy life, we are dispersed at a different direction. Oh, I want to do this, I want to do that. You know, oh, it sounds promising. We're catching at everything, or as many we could think of. We are wasting our energy on things which are not very relevant. You know, even if they are profitable, but they're taking us off the right or our main track, of our away from our higher purpose, call it so, right? But when you're focused, whether as a person or in a business, if you still keep that focus on what you are good at, what is your superpower as a company or small business or as an individual, I believe, and I learned this already in a good way, that you remain still important for people, you still remain valuable. And this is very critical, because panic doesn't allow people to stay focused. And here you must exercise all your strengths.
Panic, actually, Ole, that's an excellent point. Because when you're panicked, whether you are a business owner, an employee, or a client or a customer, panic is going to change the way you do probably almost everything. Yeah. And I want to challenge you, Oleg, on something, because I get what you're saying. I get that we have to be able to change with the times and adapt and stay focused and stay positive. I get all that. In this situation, however, let's take small business owners, for example. This mistake, this thing that changed our lives and uprooted everything, was not our doing, right? I didn't screw up as a business owner and cause my business to crash. Right? This is something that's completely outside of us. What would you say to a business owner like me, who I'm bucking against the notion of, well, if you tied my hands and feet up and put me in the corner, and that's where I had to stay for an appreciable period of time, I don't have to like that. I don't want to turn around and say, my hands and feet tied together, this is really great, I think I can do well going forward like this. I can't. So what would you say to a business owner who doesn't like the instant situation and who doesn't want to adapt to it, but rather adapt to get back to what was working?
I would be changing the narrative, because you're not tied up. You're not a victim. And here's the problem people mainly assume, oh, we're the victims of circumstances. Hey, the whole planet are facing this ideal storm, right? So we are not victims. We're just going through the tough times, which will be over. So it's no point to cry. And if we lose, we will lose. Okay, keep yourself confident that you could start again. Yes, somebody would lose. Somebody will keep at the same level. Yeah, but many people would lose, to be honest. But the matter is how you will stand up and fight again. America was built on this. America was built on challenges. And no one was crying about it. Why we are crying something which we could overcome within a few months? It's not forever. So don't allow yourself to be in a position of a victim. It's not as complicated as people think. So change the narrative. You must be out of that crisis as a winner. Your people must be out of this crisis as a winner as well. If they see your confidence, they will be confident. If you see your doubts, they would be doubtful. So organization is only a legal entity. People, this is what your employees, that they make the core of organization. They define what you could do. And if they believe in you as a business owner, they confident. And if you think, okay, guys, we are losing now, but we will stand up and we'll fight again and everything would be back to normal, they will be very enthusiastic to support you. But if they, you would infuse them with a belief that you are victims, victims never win anything. I never seen any team which won a Super Bowl being a victim.
Point. And I know
that is excellent point.
You and get that, but you just took away all of her future Facebook posts if she can't complain anymore.
Yeah, that is a good point, Carol.
Well,
right.
He said not to be a victim. He didn't say we couldn't vent on Facebook. Okay. So there you have it.
Your narrative.
So you consider Facebook as a platform for that? Okay.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. But no, those are very good points, and they resonate with me too, because you know I could. But this has been my whole life, even before I was a business owner. You could cut off my arm and I could be bleeding profusely, you know, from the elbow, and I would put a Band-Aid on and say, what are you looking at? Let's keep going. And that's kind of what we're doing. Kind of what we're doing collectively here now. I just don't want to have to like it, Oleg. That's the challenge I have. Like, I don't want to like this situation. We're managing the situation. I don't want to like it. I don't like it.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's reasonable, because many people, they love problems. You know, they so love problems, even they are looking for them. And not many people are looking for solutions. That's a very different approach. So if you're looking for problems, you will find them for sure. But if you're looking for solutions, you'll find them as well. So that's a choice which people should make. And it's a good time now to decide whether you're still looking for problems, or you're looking for solutions.
That's a powerful point.
It is. Oleg, can you tell us a little bit about Leaderology? What's the book about? Who's the book for?
Actually, it was named the book which is announced the Renaissance period in leadership and management. And the reason is, I'm talking in this book about leadership not as a function, but as a system of growing people, of helping them to reach success. And it's very, very different view on leadership comparing what we have discussed so far before. We've been looking at leadership as a very separated function of a certain people, which is not right. Leadership duty is to create leaders in others, right? You must be very good at vision. And people, and in this book I'm discussing, for instance, six criteria of vision, which never been discussed before, because we love talking about vision, but we never even discussed in detail what vision is about, or what is all about. So at least people could evaluate their vision against those six criteria. There are quite a number. I'm discussing organizational archetypes, how organizations are different, and so leading them is leading a bank or leading a university would be a very different business, and so approach to leading people, and so the culture in them would be very different. How to define this? So I'm bringing a new perspective on how we, as the 21st century businesses, should be doing the things and avoiding all the mistakes. This is all about. So how to make a difference in the 21st century. And also I'm bringing examples or some kind of a classification of corporate diseases which can't be avoided or treated, and giving some kind of a remedies or recipes for this. In simple terms, it's a guide how to make organization very relevant to the present times and future, make it future-facing.
Okay.
It seems to me it's close.
Well, who
it just came
use
quite
that?
In time.
It sure did. So, Oleg, I can't thank you enough. These are very good insights, completely timely insights. We have to wrap up here now with Oleg Konovalov. But before we let you go, there's two things I want from you. How can people connect with you, Oleg, if they want to check out your book and what you do, for starters? Why don't you tell us that first?
I never hired from anyone. I love being on LinkedIn. I'm always happy to connect. They could visit my website, olegkonovalov.com, OlegKonovalov.com, right? Twitter, Facebook, you know, my email is available on my website, and I'm regularly posting some kind of an article, so blog posts on my website, they could catch it up. The book is available on Amazon, on Book A Million, Barnes & Noble, quite a number of those resources, in audio, in paperback, in Kindle.
They could Google Meteorology. Find you.
You wouldn't have find many things with such a title.
Exactly. Exactly. And Oleg, while you're on Facebook, by the way, you might want to search out Jonna. At least you'll get a laugh out of some of her rants.
Yes.
I do rant. And Oleg, before we let you go, you got to do me one favor, because I love your accent. I love listening to you. Can you just please, before you leave, say this word? VODKA. Go.
I could spell it in a bit different. Vodka is, you know, vodka connects people.
He just wanted to say it.
I just wanted to say it. I love the way, I love the Russian accent when people say vodka as vodka. I just love it. It tickles me.
Well, you know.
And that's why it connects people. Oleg, thank you so much for being our guest today. We really, really appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll be checking out Meteorology for sure.
Yes, thank you very much, Oleg.
Thank you very much.
Yes, and you stay safe, and we'll be right back here with more from Happy Hour. Segment number 3 is on the way, so we're not done yet, people. Stick with us. It's K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. And we're back one more time here this morning with Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frank and Barry.
Oh, we got to get back in the studio because you guys just cannot get this crap right. Seriously.
Come on.
That, like, delay or something. She's on delay.
Sorry, that's just funny. So that was a very cool discussion we had with Mr. Oleg.
And I think part of what we're all going through, regardless of what you do for a living, is I think we need to find some silver linings out of this mess, and however we can do it, great. You know, like, who would have thought? For a million years, I would say to myself, courts should allow virtual appearances. I have a lot of clients, for example, who work in New York City, but if you got to make an appearance in Dutchess County, guess what? You're taking the whole darn day off. Well, why not allow for virtual appearances? So maybe we will see more of that going forward. I personally would like that.
And you know what's funny that you mentioned that, and I'm forgetting the title of it right now. That brand new CBS show. This is season number 1 about the judge. It's on Tuesday nights at 9:00. But anyway, they did a really interesting episode this week where everybody on the show is in lockdown. So it was a very current episode, and they did it all as a video conference. So basically, they presented how their day would go as a judge and another judge and some of the lawyers, how their day would go right now. And it was really, it was really, really well done and very original. So, so I can understand what you're saying. Wouldn't that be nice?
That is very current. Although I will say it probably went a lot smoother on that show than it happens in real life.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see how Chris Steve's son, I forget his first name, was on Good Morning America without pants?
Who?
Christopher Reeve, Superman.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
His son was on Good Morning America with a jacket and a tie and speaking, and they had like a banner across the bottom of the screen, and then the banner went away, and you could see he wasn't wearing pants. For real.
Oh, that's great.
That's
A jacket and a pair of boxer shorts. Very nice.
Yep. Yeah, people, you got to be careful with all these virtual meetings.
That is hilarious. Yeah, and a lot of people, I have two thoughts. One is completely unrelated, but I think we talked about this. Like, I'm one of those weirdos who, if I have to do anything, like even now, for example, I'm not in my PJs. When I do any sort of virtual meeting, when we were really locked down a few weeks ago, I made sure I was showered and fully dressed, head to toe, including shoes. And to me, it's mental. Like, if I'm in business mode, I have to look business, no matter what. But here's something bad. Here's something bad I'm going to admit. I was getting secretly ticked off. Like, when we were doing the Zoom meetings, now we're mostly in the office. When we were doing the Zoom meetings and my people showed up with, you know, unwashed hair and in, you know, fuzzy pajamas in the middle of the day when we're doing the Zoom, I wanted to, I could have slapped them through my screen. I was mad. I really was. And then I'm like, you know, well, forget that. I'm going to make them come in the office. If I don't make them come in the office, because we're essential business, we could do that, they're going to forget how to shower and get dressed. And I had to snap them out of it like that. I did it. Snap them right out of it.
Sorry, I'm just imagining you right now. You're sitting on your side, and you look at somebody in the fuzzy slippers, and you just said to yourself, "Hey, I just took the time to shower and do my hair, and you're wearing fuzzy slippers like I wish I was. I hate you. Come into the office."
Well, and now they all hate me, but at least they're clean. So there.
Right, Mary. If you and I worked for Jonna right now, we'd be fired.
Oh, I know. Oh, you kidding? She would have shot me like 6 weeks ago for wearing the same pair of sweatpants for 7 weeks.
After she sprayed you with Lysol from head to toe.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
I know. I'm awful. This is why people hate me. Now, the second thought I had was completely unrelated, but you mentioned TV. And I know, Frankenberry, you probably won't care about this, but Carol, you might. This is kind of big news. For those of you who, like me, are fans of The Real Housewives of New York. Because why? Guess who's not back on the show this season, which just started a couple weeks ago? Carol?
No. Bethany?
Bethany! Bethany's gone! Gone!
Did they acknowledge why?
No, actually, I don't... No, they didn't say a darn word about it. Now, in real life, she's one of these do-gooders. Like, she's trying to help with people in the pandemic, and that's all wonderful because she was doing that with the hurricanes and stuff, and she's really good that way. But I don't think that's why she didn't come back, because these things are filmed 6 months ago, way before any of this happened. But she didn't come back, and nobody said a word.
You want my theory?
Yes.
Okay, so she is a brilliant businesswoman. As we all know, she built up the brand Skinny Girl, which included her Skinny Girl Margarita line, which she sold off for, I don't know, $110 million or something a few years ago. And then one of her dreams was to start her own talk show, which she did. But then that got canceled.
Right.
And I think... from a business perspective, she had to keep her name and face on TV to keep her brand relevant and out there. And her best option at the time was Real Housewives. But I'm not sure that she truly digs it. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like she had to do that to keep her brand relevant. Maybe she finally was like, I've had enough of this. Why would you subject yourself to being around those, what I don't know what to call them. Anyway,
well, because it's fun, number one. I mean, they're kind of fun. They're kind of fun. And if somebody said to me, if somebody said to me, though, you could take a year off from running a law firm and be a Real Housewife of New York City and not completely have to embarrass yourself, I'd be like, sign me up. you know, Hamptons, you know, Ramona being a jerk, a lot of drinking and eating. I can do that. A lot of drinking and eating.
Hey, you know, I've never seen the show, but I was actually going to go with Carol's reasoning before she even dropped it. I was going to say, you know what? Well, once you reminded me of what a great businesswoman she is, and then I remembered the fact that she did sell that brand of hers for a lot of money, and I'm like, you're probably right. She probably just said, you know what? I'm way too smart for this crap. I'm done. You know?
Yeah. That's true. Although, believe it or not, a few of the Real Housewives actually have businesses. Now, maybe not as mega monstrous as the Skinny Girl brand, but Sonia Morgan, for example, she's somebody on the show. She was married to a relative of J.P. Morgan. She's got a clothing line. I own several of her pieces. So does Bethany, actually. She's got Skinny Girl jeans and clothing line. And apparently another one has like a skincare line. Like they have these brands, which, yeah. Not bad. But it's just such a fun show. It's a train wreck of a show. I love it.
It's a train wreck. I can't tolerate it. But it's from a business perspective, it's a platform for them to... Any of those women on those shows who's not also developing a brand or product or something is crazy. They all... It's a great platform to promote that.
Oh, of course. Of course.
It is. And then now I have something else. Now I have a confession to make. And this is truly a confession. So as I'm sure we all are, I know you guys are, but we're kind of exploring different shows to watch on TV during this time because our schedule's not the same, right? We're not all working the 10 hours a day from an office. We're not doing that. So there is a little time, and we want to be entertained, and there's nothing else to do. We can't go anywhere. So we're exploring different TV shows. I know you guys are too. And I actually spent money on buying a season of, and I didn't spend a lot. I spent $2.99. to buy a season of, wait for it, Botched. And Botched. And I freaking love Botched.
of course you do.
All these crazy plastic surgery mistakes and these two lovable doctors, you know, they're a combination of, you're like, are these real doctors? Because they're more like frat boys, but they're really good at what they do. And it's just such a, I just absolutely love it. I love it.
All right. Well, on that note, I think we're going to close up shop. On Botched Plastic Surgery, we're going to close things up here today. By the way, the show that I was thinking about is called All Rise.
Oh.
But anyway, you've been listening to Happy Hour today. We appreciate our guest from earlier, Oleg. Thank you so much for the thoughts. Definitely some interesting stuff. And Jonna Spilbor, Carol Pesci, Spilborg and Pesky. Thank you very much for having us enjoy your company for another week.
We appreciate it. Can't wait to be back in the studio.
Yes, looking forward to some sense of normalcy at some point. But you've been listening to Happy Hour here. We do it every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock right here on K104, and we'll do it again next week. Be safe.
Thanks so much for listening to Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol. If you love this episode, make sure you subscribe so you don't miss a thing.
And if you really loved it, we would love you back if you give us a review on iTunes.
Check us out on the web. You can join us there at netchicks.tv as well as on Facebook as netchicks.tv. See you next time.